Thank you, Brother John, Miss Jean, Miss Susan. Thank you guys for being here tonight. I am ready for that day. How about you? Proverbs chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Solomon's classic contrast, compare Proverbs. As we work through this tonight, we're going to see that words matter. We're going to see as we work through this text tonight, we're going to see that what we say matters. Many of you know the old proverb that is not in the Bible, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not true. Words hurt much worse than a stick across the head. Okay, are your bones being broken? Words live with you forever. And so, tonight, as we preach the Word, my encouragement to you would be to reflect. My encouragement to you would be to allow the Holy Spirit to convict. My encouragement to you would be to allow the Holy Spirit to refine any area in your life where there may be some work that needs to be done, because I know in my own personal one there's quite a lot that needs to be done. When you look at this first one here, the first verse of chapter 15, Solomon says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Oh, how I've needed that over the years. Right? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Another word for soft there would be a gentle answer turns away wrath. The word hema in the Hebrew means rage, this soft answer. There are many people that go around and provoke others into conversations. And when they get you in those conversations, there are people that even have, I don't know the word that I'm looking for this evening, but they even have the gall, I guess you could say, to record you without you knowing it. And they get you into conversations to try to get you to lash out at them so that they can get you recorded so they can share that with other people. And they get you to lash out and do those things. And there's probably many people in here today wish you could go back and have taken away what you said. I have done that before. I have had people provoke me. I have had people make me angry. I have had people say things to me that brought me to wrath. And as I did that, it definitely stirred up the anger, which then escalated into an argument. And so Solomon gives us very wise advice here tonight that when somebody is trying to do this provoking, somebody is trying to get this rallying up of you, whatever that may look like, that a soft answer turns away wrath, a gentle answer. What does that look like? I have been in conversations like that before where people have come in ready to fight, ready to pick a fight. Parents mad because their little girl didn't make cheerleader. Parents mad because their honors student made a B in honors English. Whatever it may look like, coming in ready to provoke into an argument or into an angry situation that is going to absolutely crumble where there will be no solution. Now listen, guys, in education they teach you a humanistic philosophy called everything can be a win-win situation. That's not true. Not everything can be a win-win for both parties, three parties, whatever it may be. But when we advise these words from King Solomon tonight, we see that when people come to provoke us under the Holy Spirit, that it is best to give a gentle or soft answer, because then it will turn away wrath. One of the things that we are taught in education is that when a student is riled up or a student is overexcited or a student is angry, that we are to de-escalate the situation rather than to escalate the situation. I was walking by a room one time and a substitute was on campus and she was trying to call roll and the kids were rowdy. They weren't behaving, they were talking and not in their seats, and she was hollering at the top of her lungs. And can I just tell you, to those kids, she was just like that teacher on the Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown. Rah, rah, rah. That's all they hear. When you use that type of voice, when you hear that type of language, we were talking to the leadership team tonight. A study that was done by UCLA said this: communication is 55% of your body language. That's amazing, isn't it? 55% of your body language. That's communication. The 38% is through your tone of voice. Your tone of voice. I've been teaching, John kind of provoked me in this. I've been teaching our intro to ag class and leadership, crucial conversations. And they're so important to have. And when we talk about this tone of voice, okay, I used a young man in the class, and I hollered at the top of my lungs, "Drake is the best student that I have in the class." And boy, everybody was silent, and they sat up straight, and they were attentive, and they were like, "What's the matter with Mr. Mize?" Nothing was the matter with Mr. Mize. It was the tone of my voice that I used. I was saying everything positive about young Drake. But the kids were scared to death, and they were sitting up straight in their desk saying, "Oh man, he's mad." So 38% is by the tone of our voice. And then the study from UCLA said this, that only communication, 7%, is words spoken. Now that depresses me as a preacher tonight. 7% is the words spoken. So how do you approach people? Is it with a gentle answer? Or is it with a style of a harsh word, Solomon says, stirs up anger? This harsh word could, another synonym used there could be a hurtful word that stirs up anger, that riles up, that escalates, that does these things. I think about people when I get in situations and I have not prayed up about that situation and I go into that conversation and I'm not prayed up, the first thing that happens to me is the old flesh takes over. And when the old flesh takes over, the first thing that's going to come out of my mouth is I'm going to be angry right back. Especially if somebody accuses me of lying when I have not lied. When somebody says something about me that is not true and they bring that to my face and they say that in a crucial conversation, then I am, if I'm not prayed up, I'm going to act out in the flesh. Can I get an amen tonight? This is what Solomon warns against. He says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. My prayer tonight that if we have anger problems, that if we have situations in our lives where people provoke us, people prod us, people stir us up, that we remember what the writer of Hebrews says, that we are to be stirred up in love and in good works. And that's what we are called to do in the body of Christ. When we stir up one another, it ought to be in love, and it ought to be in good works, not the other. When we talked about this morning, contention, chaos, and confusion, God has no place for it in His house. No place for it in His house. Nor does He have a place for it in the believer's life. So I would encourage us tonight to think about our communication, think about our conversations. Are they glorifying the Lord? Verse 2, Solomon says that the tongue of the wise use knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pour forth foolishness. And everybody said amen. The tongue of the wise, that simply means the words of the wise are always used rightly. Don't you appreciate those people that just always say the right thing at the right time? And you're like, I wish I could be like that, right? I have sat in meetings over my 20-year career in education with some brilliant people. It's set back, they take everything in, and when they speak, The wisdom is like a golden apple. But then there are other people that just talk to hear themselves talk. And they ruin everything that is trying to be accomplished. You probably know what I'm talking about. And so the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly because their knowledge is attractive. Their knowledge is desirable. When New Hope Baptist Church sent me to Dr. Steve Lawson's expository preaching seminar in Fort Worth, I was getting up early. I was staying late just to hear him teach. You want to know why? Because everything he said was knowledge fitting rightly. And I was taking notes. You could have seen the smoke coming off my pencil on that pad. I was taking so many notes because everything he said was apt. Everything he said was attractive. Everything he said was beneficial. I learn more from people like that than I do anybody else. I don't know about you guys, but I do. I'll never forget going to the Coaches Association basketball school in San Antonio, Texas. And we went down there and Dean Smith, the great coach for North Carolina, spoke. And then Roy Williams that followed him spoke. And these men had so much knowledge about the game of basketball and so many stories. I'm just sitting there enamored for an hour and a half. And an hour and a half felt like 5 minutes. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Then you're like, yeah, and we hear Michael Myers preach, and that whole hour and 30 minutes, it's an hour and 30 minutes, right? So when you look at this here, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but here's the mouth. The mouth of fools pours foolishness. The pour there in the verb simply means to bubble forth, to gush out. Foolishness, sin. You know people like that. Everything that comes out of their mouth is just like an overflow of bubbles. It's an overflow of gushing water that comes out that is absolutely foolishness. When you hear these people talk, all you can do is just shake your head because of the insanity that pours out of their mouth. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Oh boy. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. This is the omniscience of God. This is the omnipresence of God. He knows all. He is everywhere. And in this tonight, He keeps watch on the evil and the good. Keep watch in the Hebrew there simply means that He is guarding. That He is guarding the evil and He is guarding the good. This is a comforting verse to me. Because that means that our God is sovereign, that He is on His throne, and He controls the very aspects of our lives. That gives me comfort tonight. That there is not going to be this loose molecule or this loose atom break off and just destroy the universe. That's not going to happen. You want to know why? Because God is in control. God is in every place. He keeps watch on the evil. He keeps watch on the good. He knows the very inner desires of our thoughts. He knows the inner desires of our mind. He knows everything about us. And He goes to and fro. He knows everything. And He's everywhere. Oh, our God is an awesome God. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. That is somebody that is an encourager. That is somebody that you like to be around. That's somebody that's always got a smile on their face. That's somebody that's always got a great outlook on life. That's somebody that you enjoy to fellowship with. This is somebody that has a wholesome tongue. An encouraging word comes out of their mouth. They are like a tree of life. When you've been around them, man, you feel like that you are growing and that you're sprouting branches and you're growing leaves and you're producing fruit just because you've been around this person. You know the type of people I'm talking about. I used to have a doctor that was that way. I'd go in to see him and I'd have fever skyrocketed. And by the time I left, I felt so much better just talking to him. Because he made you feel good. Because he had a wholesome tongue that made you feel like a tree of life. And then there's the opposite, right? Perverseness, and it breaks the spirit. perverseness in it breaks the spirit. This is somebody with a deceitful tongue. Somebody that's always lying. Somebody that's always complaining. Somebody that's always criticizing. Somebody that's always perverting the wholesome words that come out of their mouth. Whatever is in your heart will definitely come out of your mouth. And those type of people, can I just be honest with you tonight? I do not desire to fellowship with. I do not desire to break bread with. I do not desire to be around, because those people are toxic. And when they get in your life, it becomes very negative. And those negative connotations of that perverseness, of deceitfulness and deceptiveness, rub off on you. So when we look at this perverseness in it, it breaks the spirit. What does that mean? It simply means that it breaks down your morale. You ever known people like that just break down your morale? I mean, you could be walking on cloud nine coming to church, and somebody brings you a complaint or criticism, and all of a sudden it just sinks you. I asked our leadership team, I said, hey, from 8 to 1 o'clock on Sunday morning, no gripes or complaints ever again. No gripes or complaints. When we come here, it's not about griping, it's not about complaining. When we come here, we're coming here to worship the Lord. When we come here from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock on Sunday night, no more griping, no more criticizing, no more complaining. We're coming to worship the Lord. That's why this time's allotted. It's not time to come up here and gripe and complain about everything that we see wrong with the church. It's about you and I coming up here to worship and honor the Lord. And if our hearts are not right, then there's a problem with us. Because it's perverseness that breaks the spirit. It breaks the morale. Breaks the morale. Man, there's nothing like going into a church. There's nothing like going to your job. There's nothing like if you played for a team and somebody saying something to you that just breaks your morale. Breaks your morale. It makes you feel like you can't fight the battle anymore. And boy, can I be honest with you? I'm getting there. I'm getting there. This place has been blessed by the Lord. We have people being added unto us daily, it seems like. It seems like that this is a paradigm of the early church in Acts chapter 2. And I am rejoicing in this as I'm just along for the ride to see the blessings of God pour upon New Hope Baptist Church. But I told the leadership team a while ago, I can't focus on the good because I'm always being drowned out with the bad. And when all you hear is bad all the time, amen, your spirit is broken. Your spirit is broken. So I want to encourage you, Christian, to have a wholesome tongue that brings the tree of life. And not a perverted spirit, a perverted tongue of deception and deceit, of lying, of complaints, of criticism, that breaks the spirit. We all play for the same team. And if we're on the same team, we need to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction. And my dad said, amen. Boy, I've been there. I have been a straight running fool. Right? He could have said, I told you so, son. Why didn't you just listen to me? I told you so. I've heard Sam White. I told you so. My granddaddy Paul. I told you so. Over and over and over again. But see, a fool despises his father's instruction. I've told you this before, but it's the truth. And this is not a proverb. It's just some wise wisdom 101 that won't get you anywhere, but it's the truth. When I was a senior in high school, Jerry and Cherie Mize was uneducated. Jerry and Cherie Mize knew nothing about my life, knew nothing about what I wanted in life, knew absolutely nothing about anything that had to do with the world. Then when I became 25 years old, my mom and dad, they are smarter than any doctor that has graduated from Harvard. Isn't it funny what the Lord does to you? Yeah, see, a fool despises his father's instruction. And Solomon was teaching young Rehoboam here a good lesson that godly fathers teach, godly fathers model, godly fathers instruct. And that's important for me in my house with my girls, that we have time set aside each day to study the Word of God. And that we say, I repeat a verse, and they repeat this verse back to me. And I say, Jesus is, and they say, Christ and Lord. And they understand what this terminology is. And you say, I can't believe you do that stuff. Let me tell you, more dads need to be godly instructors in their homes, and then we wouldn't have the messes that we have today. And I'm not going to say that Brooke and Caitlin and Abigail and Macy grow up to be saints of the Lord. I pray that He calls them unto salvation. But it is my job, because He has given them to me as a gift, and what a gift they are, to train them up in the instruction of the Lord. It is our duty. It is our job. But a fool, he despises his father's instruction. But he who receives correction is prudent. He who receives correction is prudent. This is the word to be shrewd. This son would listen. This son would obey. This son would bring honor to God and bring honor to their father. They listen. They listen. A buddy of mine got a job at a pizza joint here in Mineola when we were in our 19 years old, delivering pizza. And he said, man, Michael, I made $100 tonight. I said, you did? Yeah. He said, and they need drivers. I said, count me in. Brookshire's, I was still working at Brookshire's, but when I could get off, I'd go over there and I'd use my pickup and I'd go deliver pizzas, and they'd give me hot checks. They'd give me checks with no addresses or names on it. I'd give it back to the owners, and they were from another country. Therefore, they got very irate and very aggravated at me for taking these hot checks. And then one night, I didn't come home till about midnight. But listen, my Brookshire's, back then we had to wear those dorky aprons. I had cash stuffed all down in those pockets of those aprons. Cash like you wouldn't believe. And I walked in, and I thought my dad was going to kill me. Where have you been? Been working at the pizza place. Look at all this money. Oh, man, I had to go around the table. I better not be saying this. I had to go around the table dancing away to stay away, because I had not listened to my father's instruction. You will not be staying out after 10 o'clock. You will not be working for that pizza place down there. You will not be going over to the bad part of town delivering pizzas, because you do not know what's going to happen to you. And, man, I will never forget that lesson. So guess what? One day I worked for a pizza place, never again. I was being prudent, because a prudent son receives correction. And my prayer today is that we can be parents that encourage our children to listen to the correction that our fathers have taught us. So look at verse 6. In the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. Solomon is using an earthly proverb here, that in the house of the righteous, talking about him, there is much treasure. He is talking about materialism, but he is also talking about so much more. You know, I am thankful that the Lord has blessed us beyond belief. I am thankful that the Lord has provided for Jacqueline and I to have jobs. I am thankful that He has provided us shelter. I am thankful that He has provided for us clothing. I am thankful that He has provided us with vehicles to get to and from. The Lord is good. And the Lord takes care of the righteous. He says there's much treasure when you look in our house. Many people have said it looks like Toys R Us. No joke, right? There is much treasure. But in the revenue of the wicked is trouble. The analogy that I wrote here in my notes, the revenue, the money, the treasures of the wicked is trouble. I thought about gamblers. I thought about lottery winners. You know, you research lottery winners, and people usually win the lottery. They've gone bankrupt within the first couple of months they win it. The revenue of the wicked is trouble. Is trouble. When you get your money by deceit, when you get your money by shameful ways, the money will never be blessed by the Lord. But a righteous man or woman who works for the glory of the Lord, praise God, he will bless even the meekest of wages. That's how good our God is. In verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. These are people that are wise. These are people that share knowledge. They give knowledge to other people. They pull you to the side in private. They don't do it in public. They don't go behind your back. But yet they pull you in privacy and they talk to you and they share wisdom with you. There is a lot to gain from the wisdom of the men and women in this church. We have a plethora of beautiful people here that have a lot of wisdom and a lot of advice. And I appreciate the godly wisdom that you share with me. I take that to heart. And it says here very clearly that the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. They share this knowledge. But the heart of the fool does not do so. The heart of the fool shares junk, right? These people are whisperers. These people are backbiters. These people are gossipers. Paul gave a list in Romans chapter 1. Of the people that are this very type of person that has this type of tongue, that is somebody that is a backbiter. They talk about people behind their back. There are people that are whisperers. Whisperers are somebody that won't ever say anything to your face, but they'll go around to everybody else and talk bad about you. Then there are people that are just flat out backstabbers, people that are flat out gossipers that don't have to have anything made up about you, anything that is factual about you, anything that whatsoever may be about you. They just want to have your name out there in the spotlight so that they can talk about you however they see fit. And you don't think that that happens. Folks, it happens all the time. Happens all the time. You get feelings hurt. You get hearts hurt. And I just want to say thank you to New Hope Baptist Church for the wise who share knowledge with me and my wife, and you don't do it in a manner that is out in front of everybody to embarrass us, but you share it in privacy, and we appreciate that. The heart of the fool does not do so, because the heart of the fool is going to disperse foolishness, going to disperse sinfulness, going to disperse all of this negativity, and that person is going to do that as soon as their heart is leading them to do it, which is what? All the time. All the time. Working in education, I knew the teachers to stay away from if I wanted to have a good day. In education, I knew the administrators to stay away from if I wanted to have a good day. In church, I know the people to stay away from if I want to have a great day in the Lord. And that's the truth, guys. And sometimes the truth hurts. But the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. The heart of the fool does not do so. Verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Isaiah 1 and 11 says this. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. In Jeremiah 7, verse 22, for I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Dr. Jeremiah says, as he does frequently, God invited his people to remember their past. The people had maintained the mechanical traditions of burnt offerings and sacrifices, but they forsake God's true commandment, and that is to obey His voice. Obey His voice. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. My prayer is tonight is that we are the prayer of the upright, because the prayer of the upright becomes His delight. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? That you and I who are righteous, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. There's none of us righteous, no, not one. But praise God, we can receive righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we pray to Him, praise God, the prayer of the upright is His delight. He delights in hearing the prayers of His children. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? That I can boldly go to the throne of grace and I can do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't need some priest to intercess for me. I can be driving down the road and I can pray to the Lord. I can pray, as Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, I can pray without ceasing. I am thankful for prayer that we have to the Lord. The prayer of the upright is His delight. Verse 9. The way of the wicked. We go now from the sacrifice of the wicked in verse 8. To the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. This word simply means detestable conduct. Detestable conduct. He says, but he loves him who follows righteousness. Detestable conduct. That way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. In this verse, I couldn't help but think about King David. His detestable action of adultery, his detestable action, his detestable conduct of murder was an abomination to the Lord. But in the book of Acts, David is seen as a man after God's own heart. Wow. This makes it real, church, that God sent His Son for sinners. And I'm thankful for that tonight, aren't you? And when you read Psalm 53, you see David's broken, contrite, humbled heart, because he knew what? That he had sinned against his Father. The way of the wicked, that detestable conduct, it's an abomination. The Lord abhors it. He hates it. But praise God, He loves him who follows righteousness. I used to love what Brother Fred said. God always allows U-turns. I'm thankful for that tonight, because there's many of us in here that have hit rock bottom. And praise God, He allowed that to happen. But He took us from that rock bottom, and what did He do? He placed us on solid ground. And when you're placed on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, praise God, that foundation does not have any cracks. Verse 10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. Harsh discipline simply means stern correction. We were talking about discipline in our Sunday school class this morning, and discipline may look different in each household. We still use corporal punishment. I know that you may say, oh my goodness, we need to ban him as pastor using corporal punishment, but we truly believe that the rod of correction is the best way for our kids. And many of them understand that very well. As we were going to get Brother Schaefer the other night, we had a meltdown. For us, revival is fantastic. For little kids, revival is burdensome. And their whole routine is thrown off kilter. And so when you have been going a week at Corinth to revival, and then you've been coming to New Hope, coming to revival, and their food schedule, their playtime, their homework time, everything is thrown off kilter, there's going to be a meltdown. And boy, did we have a meltdown. And we had a meltdown, and I told this lovely daughter of mine that if you do not stop by the time we get to Nanny and Papa's, I'm pulling over and I'm going to wear you out. Well, she didn't stop. As a matter of fact, she wanted to move out. And she wanted to move in with Granddaddy and Mama. And she wanted to move in with Nanny and Papa. So, bad mistake on my part. But anyways, I pulled off 49. True to my word, because if you say you're going to do it, you better do it. And I took her out. And I spanked her little rear end with my belt, forgetting that it would not hold up my trousers without my belt. So I was rather embarrassed. And so as I got back in and put her back in, we got down to Hainesville as we were going to get Brother Schaefer. And the Lord intervened, and she took a little nap. And we got in, and Brother Schaefer said, oh, you got one asleep. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we come back here to New Hope, and as we woke her up, I said, you feeling okay, baby? And she said, yeah, Daddy, I feel good. That little nap helped her. And I said, "Hey, what do you want?" She said, "I want something to eat." And I said, "Okay, Mama's bringing that." I said, "You know Daddy loves you." And she said, "I know, Daddy." And she hugged my neck. Hey, it's part of it. You have to discipline your kids. If you don't discipline your kids, they're going to go haywire. And when they go haywire, we have to look back upon ourselves. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way. Those kids, those adults who forsake the way that has been taught to them are going to learn a harsh lesson in life. A harsh lesson in life. So I want to take you down this pathway just real quick. These people usually do not listen to authority. I've got classrooms full of them. They hate authority because they've not ever been given proper authority at home. And when the school tries to administer that authority, they simply spit in the school's face. And so you have this defiance of authority. And then on top of that, these people usually go out into society and they can't keep a job because they don't like being told what to do. A young man that I was the principal for who was here last night, and I'm not trying to judge anybody, I'm just telling you, didn't like to be told what to do. So we put him on an early graduation plan so that we could graduate him from high school with a diploma where he could go do something. The kid's a good worker, but he's already had 6 jobs since he's been out of high school because he does not like being told what to do. And the kid has talent. The kid has intellect. The kid has phenomenal people skills. And I encouraged him last night. You are too talented to be unemployed. You could be a manager of a company if you would apply yourself and just listen to say, "Yes, sir." These people usually wind up without a job. These people usually wind up addicted. They usually wind up addicted to whatever things might encourage them or entice them. Drugs, alcohol. And then you know the sad part of the story. This person who forsakes the way, he who hates correction. Listen to what Solomon says here, because this is stern. He will die. He will die. Death is coming. Death is coming. I want to tell you tonight, church, in verse 10, that there is only one way, and that one way is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you the worst part about this tonight, church, is this. That one way of Jesus Christ that so many people reject, so many people will not submit to, so many people will not call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. Those people that have rejected Christ, those people that have rejected the way, their death is far worse from you and I. You and I who have been called to God as His sheep, death to us is victory. Death to the unbeliever is eternal damnation in hell. Eternal damnation in hell. Church, may our communication this week show the light. May our communication this week be seasoned with salt. And may our communication this week point to the only way, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for convicting our hearts tonight. Lord, thank you for showing me the errors of my way, the sins in my life that need correcting. Lord, I pray for the lost tonight. I pray, Lord, that your convicting power, your Holy Spirit power, Lord, I pray that your Holy Ghost power convict their hearts, that they're lost and dead in the trespasses and sin. Lord, I pray that tonight be the night of salvation. Lord, I pray for the believers tonight. Lord, that may our communication be seasoned with salt. Lord, that our communication be pointing to you, Jesus Christ. Lord, there's many of us in here tonight that need work. Lord, we need help with our anger. We need help with our communication with our loved ones. We need communication on the job. And Lord, my prayer is tonight that you convict our hearts where we need it most. And Lord, we're thankful for your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit gives us the words to say. Lord, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, it groans as we pray to you. And Lord, we thank you for those words that have been given. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight for the words of Jeremiah when he says, "Oh, but I'm just a youth." And praise God, you touched his mouth and you gave him the words to speak. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to be with our church. I ask you to bless us. I ask you to take care of us. Tonight, bless our fellowship. Lord, we lift up our missionary to you. Lord, she's such a light to us. And Lord, I just want to thank you that you called her, Lord, to go to a place that doesn't know you so that she can be the light and that she can show that there's only one true way, the way of Jesus Christ. We ask a hedge of protection around her. Lord, give her family comfort. Give her family peace. And Lord, tonight, just give us a great time of fellowship with her. And we do this for your glory. In the name above all names, we pray. In the name of Jesus.